नाह्यता परमो लाभो देहिनां भ्राम्यताम् इहा यतो विन्देत परमां शांति नश्यति संस्कृति। Indeed, there is no higher possible gain for embodied souls forced to wander throughout the material world than the Supreme Lord's Sankirtan movement, by which one can attain the supreme peace and free oneself from the cycle of repeated birth and death. This beautiful verse spoken by Lord Sri Krishna himself in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is revealing the auspicious fortune that each and every one of us has by taking birth in this age of Kali Yuga. In previous ages, there was so much religion in the world. Various greater and greater degrees of piety. That people really were quite happy living in this material creation. In Satya Yuga, there was practically no disturbances, no disease, no poverty. Practically the entire population was pious, considerate of one another, charitable. And there was plenty of everything to eat, to drink. There was no pollution. People lived extraordinary long lives, 100,000 years. And everyone practically was a devotee. In Treta Yuga and in Dwapar Yuga, gradually things became more and more degraded. But in this chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna explains to us that actually this is Narada Muni explaining to that Kali Yuga is the most worshipable and auspicious of all times to live. Why is that? Because there's so much suffering. Rivo! There's so much confusion. There's so much mistrust. There's so much pollution and dirt and scarcity and disease. Therefore, the great sages worship this age of Kali Yuga. Because the name of God is none different than Krishna himself. Nama Chintamani Krishnas Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Nam Namakari Bahuda Nija Sarava Shakti Stathapitani Amitas Madanena Kala Etadrishi Tavakti Bhagavan Mamapi Duradayavam Idrisham Ihajani Dhanu Ragaha. All the power of Krishna is within his name. This is not something that is special within the age of Kali. Krishna is eternally non-different than his name, whether it be Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, or Dwapar Yuga. The name of Krishna is eternal, and all the opulences of Krishna how the mercy of Krishna is within his name. But in Satya Yuga, people are so highly qualified that just to move their tongue seems just too simple for them. So therefore, they practice the meditational process where they have to live a life of total celibacy, performing extreme fasting, giving up sleeping, keeping their mind in one pointed, fixed concentration on the Lord within their heart for 60,000 years continuously, and they achieve love of God. And in Treta Yuga, there is so much wealth, so many qualified Brahmins, so many deeply religious people, that they perform massive sacrifices with perfect recitation of Vedic hymns and mass opulent wealth being offered in this sacrifice. And these sacrifices last long, long periods of time. And through this process, one can achieve love of God. And in Dwapara Yuga, by worshipping the deities in the temple, throughout one's life, by maintaining severe vows of discipline and regulation, and worshipping with perfect mantra, with perfect regulation, absolute punctuality, one can achieve love of God. To such qualified souls, life is so comfortable and so nice that they have to deliberately live a life of great, great sacrifice and hardship in order to really concentrate on the particular process of meditation or self-realization that is recommended in that age. But Kali Yuga is such an auspicious place that one doesn't have to go out of his way at all to find suffering or hardship. It's everywhere. And because people are so unqualified spiritually, as well as physically and mentally, it's impossible to attain self-realization of love of God through meditation, through sacrifice, or even through the discipline of deity worship. These things may be helpful, but they are all subsidiary to the Yuga Dharma. And that is that simply by chanting Krishna's name sincerely in the association of devotees, one can attain the perfection of liberation. And this is declared by the Srimad Bhagavatam to be the symptom of real intelligence. It is said, Kalim sabajayante araya gunavya sarabhagina yatra sankyetana neva sarvasvarato vilabhyate. Those who are actually advanced in knowledge are able to appreciate the essential value of this age of Kali. Such enlightened persons worship Kali Yuga because in this fallen age all perfection of life can easily be achieved by the performance of Sankirtan. It is explained so nicely that the enlightened persons worship the age of Kali Yuga. Why? Enlightened souls, they have no selfish interest of their own. They only live out of compassion for other living beings. Hara dukha dukhi. The only distress that they experience in their lives is seeing the distress of others. So why would such great souls worship Kali Yuga, the age of the greatest degree of distress. Nobody is happy in Kali Yuga who is on the bodily conception of life. There are so many miseries, adiatmaka, terrible diseases. However wealthy or educated you are, there's so many diseases that inflict your body. Here in India, we have malaria and jaundice and dysentery and cancer and heart disease and AIDS and arthritis and spondylitis and asthma. There are so many wonderful diseases. I'm only touching a drop of the ocean of the various diseases in this age of Kali. Even if you get the common cold, you're in total misery. What to speak of these severe, incurable diseases? And even if you protect yourself from all disease, you just accidentally bump your head or something hits your feet and so much pain, nothing but suffering in your life. And as far as mental anxieties, there is conflict amongst family members, there is conflict amongst friends, there is conflict amongst business associates, there is conflict in your school, your education, so many pressures, so many terrible, terrible deadlines to meet, exams. This is the age of Kali. What to speak of our own false egos, always wanting something, 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 and never getting what it wants? Adiatmika. Everybody, no one can escape this miseries in material existence. And then there's Adi Bhautika, miseries caused by other living beings. Well, it doesn't matter where you live. You live in the city and there's rats all over the place. So you say, let me leave the city and go to the beautiful countryside, and you'll be eaten by mosquitoes. And snakes. Here in the city, there's all kinds of traffic and pollution and cars and rickshaws just making all noise and all crazy people just running around for material existence. And you go to the forest and there's all sorts of snakes and mosquitoes and wild animals and cold. Too much heat, too much cold, earthquakes, tornadoes, cyclones. We're just touching a drop from the ocean of the varieties of Adi Bhautika and Adi Daivaka miseries caused by natural disturbances and other beings. The intense degree of suffering is not to be found at any other time in general, except in Kali Yuga. So the great devotees of the Lord, why they worship Kali Yuga? Because they know that whether you are in any situation of material life, it is ultimately a place of illusion and death. Abhrama bhuvana loka punar avartano arjuna mam upekyatu kaunteya punara janmana vidyate mam upekya punara janma dhukalaya mashashvita napnavanti mahatmana shamshatim paramam gata. From the highest planet to the lowest, from the heavens to the hells, from the beginning of Satya Yuga to the time prior to Kalki Avatar in Kali Yuga, this whole material creation is a place of misery. Because ultimately, death is the final statement of the material world. And therefore, devotees, intelligent people, they only make one goal in their life, and that goal is Krishna, self-realization. And in this age of Kali, there is so much confusion and distress all around us that it becomes very natural to seek shelter of Krishna by chanting his holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. As Maharaj was speaking last night, if you put all of the bad qualities of Kali Yuga on one side of the scale, and the one good quality, the only good quality in Kali Yuga, the chanting of the holy name on the other side, the chanting of the holy name outweighs all of the deficiencies and miserable conditions of this age. And what is most worshipable in this age of Kali Yuga is the fact that the Supreme Personality of Godhead comes into this world personally in his most munificent and merciful of all incarnations, just to teach us by his own example and to distribute profusely to everyone and anyone the process of Hari Sankirtan. Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prema Pradaya Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gaura Tvesi Namaha. There is no incarnation that is more merciful and benevolent than Lord Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, because he has come at the worst time to give the best gift. He has come to do the ultimate relief work. Generally in this world, a person is considered great according to how he helps people at a time of crisis. Just like the presidents or the prime ministers or the great politicians who come in at the worst time and make things better, they are remembered throughout history. They have done the greatest work. People who just come in when everything's all right and make things a little better are forgotten. So real benevolence is to come at the time of the greatest need. Just like when there was the earthquake in the Kilari Latur district, we saw so many people going to help. Some people actually wanted to help. Other people, they wanted to help themselves, because they knew, if I do a little service at this time of crisis, everyone will love me. Everyone will think I'm great, munificent, charitable, wonderful, benevolent, and downright saintly. So let me do something wonderful. It's such a good opportunity. But this whole age of Kali Yuga is like one big earthquake, because at any second the roof can fall down on us in so many varieties of ways. So Lord Sri Krishna appeared in this age of Kali to perform the greatest relief work. All these suffering souls revolving in the repetition of birth and death, Adiyatmatakari Daivakari Bhotaka, he has come to give permanent relief. He has come to send them all back to the spiritual world to enjoy an eternal life full of bliss and knowledge. He is the doctor who has come with the perfect medicine Inechi Ashadi Maya Nashi Boralagi. Harina Mahamantra Lao Zumimagi. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come with the medicine. And he's begging, take this medicine. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama. You'll never have to suffer the strife of material existence again. In Kali Yuga, many people, they realize they're suffering. They realize there's something lacking in my life. In previous ages, people never thought like this. They thought everything is wonderful. So who would take the medicine? So devotees of the Lord, they develop through association with devotees implicit faith in the words of the scripture, that the prime benediction for all humanity is the chanting of Krishna's holy name. And they sincerely take shelter of that name. And they sincerely take shelter of that congregation of devotees who are making their goal of life the chanting of Krishna's name. Our qualifications or disqualifications are not taken into account in the age of Kali. When Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was performing the Sankirtan in the house of Srivas Thakur, his most fortunate and confidential associates would gather together. And throughout the entire night, every night, the mridangas were resounding, the kartals were chiming, the devotees' feet were gracefully dancing upon the ground, and throughout the entire atmosphere was resounding the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Srivas had one servant of a maidservant. This maidservant was a simple lady. She had no credibility or prestige in society. Obviously not very educated, very poor. Just do some menial service. But during the Harinam Sankirtan, she would bring pots of water from the Ganges and very neatly line them up in the room so that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would complete his Sankirtan, he would take bath with these waters from the river Ganges. Such a menial service. And she was very quiet. She preferred to be just unnoticed by anyone. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he notices even the slightest service that is done with humility and sincerity by anyone. You see, there's no need when we perform some act of devotion to tell anyone, to boast, I have done this, I have done that. And I've actually done practically everything. You see, Krishna, he knows what we do. Whatever is done in the proper consciousness, he acknowledges. And whoever he wants to know, let him inform them. This way or that way. There's no need for us to boast proudly of what I have done. Because when you do start boasting of what you have done or what you're doing, even in devotional service, what to speak of material life, then you transgress the position of humility. And by doing that, it actually spoils all the service that you've rendered, as far as Krishna is concerned. So devotees are humble. They just do their service. Whether people notice or whether people do not notice, that is for Krishna to decide. I just quietly, humbly try to do my seva. That type of devotee is most noticed by Krishna. So this simple maidservant, she was a lady. She wasn't an intimate associate, or a pundit, or a scholar, or a Brahmin, but she just carried these pots of water on her head from the Ganges and just brought them and set them up, not even caring if Lord Chaitanya ever knows who has done it, just as long as he can have his bath. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, who is it that is bringing these pots of water every day and making them so nice for me to bathe? And it was told to him that it was the maid servant of Srivas, and her name was Duki. And Lord Chaitanya, he looked upon Duki and he said, because she's rendering such humble service, she is now to be called Suki. And just by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's calling her Suki, she actually became Suki. She became, am I saying it correct? She became joyful. Eternally joyful in ecstatic love of Krishna. She became a completely purified soul, an intimate associate of the Lord. She achieved what even the greatest yogis and jnanis can never achieve, prema bhakti. And the devotees, when they saw the mercy that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed to this apparently insignificant soul, they became enraptured in ecstatic love. They began to dance and howl in pleasure. They were thinking that just see how the Lord loves his devotee. Even an insignificant maidservant who was assisting the Lord's pure devotee like Srivas gets his infinite mercy. On another occasion, the kirtan was going on so wonderfully, dancing, chanting. Devotees, enraptured in ecstatic love, absorbed in the sweet sound of Krishna's name. At that time, the son of Srivas, who had a very, very serious disease, he died. And in one of the back rooms of the house, all of the ladies, the mother, the other relatives, they felt so sad. You know what it's like when a young child dies, what type of disaster this is for all the family members. Generally in a family, when an old person, when the grandfather dies, people cry. But when a young child dies, it's devastating, especially to the father and mother. So they were crying very loudly and creating quite a commotion. And Srivas, who was in the kirtan, he heard these sounds. So he ran into the other room. And he said, why are you making these noises? Your son and our son is dead. Srivas said, don't you have faith in the perfection of Krishna's divine will? It was his scheduled time to leave, and he left. Besides that, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth, who is the ultimate worshipable object of all living beings, is right within our own house, dancing and chanting. And the kirtan of the holy name, which is emanating from his mouth and the mouth of his servants, his associates, who are all superior to Lord Brahma himself. That holy name is so pure that it can liberate the entire creation. The fact that our son died in the auspicious presence of the Supreme Lord during his most merciful performance of kirtan, I believe our son is most fortunate. I only wish that I was so fortunate to leave my body during the auspicious kirtan of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And if you do not have faith in my words, then just for the sake of not disturbing the Lord who's in ecstatic love at this time, you do not make any noise in your crying. And if you interrupt Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's kirtan by any noises here, I will drown myself in the Ganges and see how you like that. So they became very quiet. And the kirtan went on. Little by little, the news spread to some of the devotees that this had happened. And in their hearts, they became very much sorry. But at the same time, they just wanted to see Lord Chaitanya happy and dancing, and they did not want to disturb him with this news. After several hours went by, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who actually knows everything, he is within everyone's heart, but in his divine lila, sometimes he appears to not know something. But we should know that this is his pastime, to increase the love of his devotees. So he asked Srivas, "I think there's something wrong in this house. Is there any difficulty? Is there any type of distress happening here?" And Srivas said to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "In your presence, seeing your beautiful smile, there can be no distress in my life. Everything is most wonderful." And then one of the devotees informed Lord Chaitanya that besides this, Srivas Thakur's son has died during the kirtan. Mahaprabhu said, "He has died? Well, why didn't you tell me? When did he die?" "He died about 2 hours ago." "But we did not want to interrupt your wonderful, pleasing performance of dancing and chanting." You see, the nature of a devotee is their only real object in life is to give pleasure to Krishna. And they are willing to tolerate and bear any inconvenience to give pleasure to Krishna. And to disturb Krishna's pleasure is actually their only anxiety. Bhaktivinoda Thakur prayed in the same way, that the sufferings and the distressful conditions that I endure in pleasing you and serving you are my greatest joy in life. So Lord Chaitanya, he immediately, actually the devotee said, "My Lord, it's been several hours. we think that it's time, with your permission, that we should perform the last rites and the funeral ceremony for this child. So Mahaprabhu followed them and went into the room, and there the dead child was laying. And to everyone's great astonishment, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to talk to the dead corpse. He said, "Why, my dear child, have you died and left the house of your father, Srivas Thakur?" And to everyone's greater astonishment, the Lord sat up and began to answer his question. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he rose this child from the dead. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki! And the child spoke, "My dear Lord, everyone comes to this world and according to his destiny must die. It is my appointed hour to leave this body behind. You are the supreme controller. You are the one by your sweet will that is calling me to another place. So I am simply respectfully obeying your command by accepting death. But my prayer to you, my Lord, is wherever you want me to go after leaving this body, please give me the blessing that I always remember you, that I never forget you, that I can always be engaged in your loving service. Who is my father and who is my mother? These are all the illusions of karma. You are our eternal object of love. You are everyone's eternal shelter and eternal protector. My Lord, with your permission, I will now go wherever you decide to send me. For I am your eternal servant." And then the child lay down and became lifeless. Upon seeing this, the devotees were struck with wonder. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to praise Srivas. He said, "This Srivas, such a great devotee of the Lord, so utterly detached. His own son has died, but yet, just to not disturb me, he has remained so calm. He has so much faith and so much love that he's not even attached to anything of this world." And Lord Chaitanya began to weep. He began to cry upon seeing the purity of the love of Srivas Thakur. He was crying with such intensity that all the devotees around were weeping and crying. But after the child spoke, all the family members became joyful because they understood the truth that there is only one purpose and one perfection in this life, and that is to develop this realization that the child spoke, that we are the eternal servants of Krishna and to always seek shelter of Krishna through his name. They put the child on a funeral palanquin and they brought him to the Ganges everyone dancing and chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And then they took their bath in the Ganges and all returned to their homes, very satisfied. Whoever achieves the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whoever has faith in the kirtan of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, will undoubtedly achieve the perfection of life. So it is for this reason that the great souls, they worship this age of Kali Yuga. Because so wonderfully, we all have a chance to enter into the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. Do you know that when you come to this temple and amongst the other devotees, your arms are raised and you are chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare, that you have entered directly into the transcendental pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Wherever his devotees are dancing and chanting together in humility and sincere devotion, he is present. He is present in his name and he is present in his mercy. In this age of Kali Yuga, we can all be part of the pastimes, the supreme most of all the pastimes of all incarnations of the Lord. And anyone, whether it be men, women, or children, no one is disqualified if they're simply sincere. It is for this reason that we are the most fortunate living entities in all the history of all of creation. The only question is, will we accept the good fortune that is upon us? Before the beautiful forms of Nitai Gaura Chandra, Sri Sri Radha Gopinathji, Sri Gopal, let us together accept the supreme fortune of the treasure of love of God, which is being given to us through the congregational chanting of the holy name. This is the conclusion and the essence of all the knowledge of all the scriptures of all the world, to come together to chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. And undoubtedly, all of our soul's desires will be fulfilled. We need nothing else. The mercy of the Lord is perfect and complete, and everything is included within it. And so benevolently, his mercy is showering into our lives when we chant his holy names. Thank you very much. Hari Bol. Is there a translation today? Where is Sri Kardama Muniji?